talent wars show no sign of abating in Silicon Valley, and the search for cybersecurity experts is at an especially fevered pitch. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton speaks with a talent placement executive about the pathway for someone to write their own ticket in career and salary. That conversation starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. As always, cybersecurity is a huge deal, okay, for businesses and their reputations, for customers and their wallets, and even for the Department of Homeland Security. A recent in-house audit of Homeland Security found that its cyber situation is lacking, sorely lacking. Out of five categories, Homeland Security failed in two of them when it comes to cybersecurity, and one of which was the department's own headquarters. DHS is hiring, too, with dozens of open positions for, cybersecurity experts. The talent war for cyber experts is immense, from Silicon Valley to Homeland Security. With the right credentials and experience, job seekers can almost write their own tickets.
So it's not that you're just trying to find someone with one particular skill set. In security, it's vast, right? People who understand a lot of different aspects. So it's not easy to find these people. You're looking at under 2% here in San Francisco.
She's an executive at Robert Half Technology, a global talent placement agency. She's based in San Francisco, and my chat with her starts now.
Heather Johnston, District President, Robert Half.
Thank you for coming back in.
Thank you.
Always great when you can sit in the studio. We always have a better conversation, and you help me make the data make sense a little bit better, too.
Love being here.
This time you have a new study, Robert Half Technology. 57% of San Francisco CIOs placing bets on enhancing employee training. It seems like we're always being trained. But anyway, we'll get into that in a second. What are some of your major takeaways, blanket question, from this most recent survey?
Well, I would say 88% of CIOs said, hey, we have to do something about security this year, whether it's up-leveling our current team, finding new people. I mean, security really exploded over the last few years.
Yeah, we've talked about it a couple of times. It's a really educated gig. It's a high-powered gig. It's also a high-pressure gig. I mean, oh my God, think about how many times we've talked about people in the headlines that have been hacked. And
right.
I think Equifax and beyond.
Right. Yeah, and CIOs are also having to retrain the company because they have to train people not to open up phishing emails and things like that because it just takes one person to open up one of those emails.
Totally. We've had several analysts come in and tell us, security analysts who do hard tests as well as soft tests on different targets. And they say that the social engineering being used by hackers is way sophisticated these days.
Right.
I guess that's why you have to have the employee training ongoing.
Ongoing now because they're attacking it, different ways. And I think now you have to actually think as if you are an attacker. So before, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when we were trying to protect our networks and security within our company, we were just doing the normal basic measures that were out there. And now they're actually having to hire security individuals that can think like a hacker.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do a preemptive strike. It can't just be reactive anymore.
Right. No, that doesn't work because then you're just in crisis mode.
Right.
And you're just trying to appease the customers you were able to hang on to. And yeah, that becomes a PR nightmare. There are fire drills for that, too.
Right.
It's good if you can stay ahead of it. There's a lot of cloak and dagger here, too, right? Because you've got the black hat conferences and you have the white hat conferences. That happens every year in Vegas and other places, too, of course. How are CIOs thinking when it comes to ways to quickly further secure their networks?
I think they're going to multi-step verification.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are doing that now.
Okay.
66% are saying, hey, we've got to do a multi-step password of some type, whether it's biometrics, whether it's tokens. We've got to do something where it's not just one password type in. It has to be a two-step, three-step process now.
I see.
And that's what they're all doing. So that's 25% higher than it was a couple years ago.
That's kind of bite into productivity a little bit, too.
Absolutely. That's the enemy of security is the complexity around it.
Right.
It's not just an easy fix because you've got so many different systems that need to integrate in with each other and talk to each other.
Right.
Which makes security even a bigger issue.
And on the other end of that scale, so you're managing your relationships within the company, then you've got vendor management. Well, I imagine that's an exposure point.
Yeah, I think CIOs this year also are taking a look at their vendors and saying, how secure are our vendors?
Yeah, how do they do that?
I think a lot of them are saying, hey, maybe if we're not on the cloud, we need to go to the cloud. Because, companies put their information on the cloud. Really, you are giving your information over to the experts in security. That's all they do all day long,
right?
Is protect that data and information.
Do you find that people hire out firms or analytical firms or research firms to try and find their weaknesses, or is that mostly an internal audit?
Both.
It's
absolutely both, because they are trying to hire outside firms to try and see what their vulnerability points are within the company. Absolutely.
Okay.
And then internally, they're doing the same thing.
Difference between CIO and CTO?
So chief technology officer.
Okay.
So chief information officer is protecting the information, the data, you know, driving the data of the company.
Network.
Yep. And then the chief technology officer, a lot of on the development side.
Right, R&D kind of stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, just clarifying for me and the audience a little bit, because as we get to the C-suites, it's rare air up there. You also noticed in your most recent survey of CIOs, onboarding of more people. Are there people to onboard?
Well, it's a talent war, because you're looking for people who can understand both data and the vulnerability portion of it. So it's not that you're just trying to find someone with one particular skill set. In security, it's vast, right? People who understand a lot of different aspects. So it's not easy to find these people. You're looking at under 2% here in San Francisco.
And this is the hotbed of it.
This is the hotbed of it.
So if I'm Target and I'm headquartered in St. Paul, or if I'm in Detroit and I'm running a car company, it must be hard to recruit and retain talent.
It absolutely is. It's interesting because there's been a lot of different talks about how Detroit and Silicon Valley, San Francisco are now working together to share best practices on security. You know, in the past, they were very siloed. You know, we're going to run our security this way. And everyone's kind of saying, hey, what are the best practices that these, you know, companies in Minneapolis are doing? And what's Silicon Valley doing to protect security?
I imagine a good inflection point for that kind of cooperation would be driverless cars and that kind of technology. When we're speaking about specifically
Absolutely.
Detroit.
Yep.
Right. What about the swapping and trading of talent? Are you seeing a lot of people shuffling higher and higher? And does that put pressure on salaries to go higher and higher?
Yeah, I mean, I think salaries are at an all-time high here in San Francisco, but they are also in Minneapolis. I mean, security is one of the things that probably the hardest roles to fill.
Okay.
There's just not enough people in that space with enough of a background, right? And the government's doing a lot of hiring in security, as we know.
Well, yes, absolutely.
So it's not just the private sector.
Yeah. That's a little bit troubling, because I understand, and maybe you can disabuse me of this thinking, but maybe the STEM teachers and the STEM education feeder system, the farm, the bench, isn't very deep in this country.
Isn't very deep. You're right.
And so how do you recruit? Do you go abroad to find candidates?
We do. We work globally. You know, Robert Half's a global company, and so we are reaching out to people saying there's opportunities here in San Francisco and Silicon Valley. And people are coming over you know, because there's more opportunities here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So CIOs are looking for people with very specific hard skills.
Hard skills
to bring in. So that's
certifications, things like that.
Right on. And that's the ongoing education thing, keeping those certs up, right? What about soft skills within these companies? This is a little bit off of your survey a little bit. This is more of a macro question. How do soft skills get incorporated into technology companies? Because we all know that startups are usually tone deaf until a point where they need to do customer acquisition. And then all of a sudden they're really touchy-feely and want to get out there in a PR kind of way.
I think that with the security, the soft skills aren't as important as some of the times we've come in here and we've talked about, you know, developers working with marketing teams and things like that.
Right.
Now, security still, you know, they sit together. They're not having to work with many other departments. So soft skills, not as important as like web developers and other type of technology.
What's the salary range right now for the hiring of this?
Oh, goodness. So it depends. If you're entry level security and you've only have 2 or 3 years of experience, you're looking at about $130,000.
Okay. Sorry. Sorry. I coughed today.
Yeah.
That's for 2 or 3 years experience.
Absolutely. If you've got certifications and you've been in the run for the last couple of years, because remember, there's not a lot of people that have been doing security.
What are we talking about? Undergraduate and then a master's and then 2 to 3 years. So between 7 and 8 years of experience, if you count the academics.
7 to 8 years of experience in security, you can pretty much write your ticket anywhere here in the Bay.
Wow.
Yeah, and have multiple job offers. It's really an interesting thing, because not only are companies dealing with this, but all of us, consumers, we're fatigued by this whole security thing.
That's true.
And I just read a study where us as consumers, we have anywhere from 100 to 150 passwords.
Yeah, I read that recently, too. And I went through, and I'm going to start using a password manager.
So am I. So I think it was really interesting. I thought, gosh, I don't have 100 to 150 accounts, but we do.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix, your Clipper card. Yeah. You know,
your logins at work,
bank. And
so
they were also saying that we have only 10 to 12 variations of our password. And so that there's things online right now where people can go in and hack.
Yeah.
So even at the consumer level.
Heather, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Always good data. Always good stuff.
Thank you.
That was Heather Johnston. She's district president of Robert Half Technology. She's based in San Francisco. For a link to the reports and data Heather was referencing there, you can go to KGORadio.com and look for the show notes for this week. Now, some takeaways from that CIO cybersecurity survey that Robert Half did. Implementing multi-factor authentication this year, 54% of CIOs. Enhancing the vetting of firms that have access to your data, vendor management, 53%. And adding IT security personnel, hiring, 46% of CIOs. Coming up next, we take a look at Qualcomm and Broadcom and politics and microprocessors. How much of blocking the largest tech company takeover ever is politics? And how much is protectionist?
Well, I think there's real concern among the administration about Broadcom's ties to China. And beyond what U.S. companies are legally required to do when they want to do business in China is, you know, the fear of IP theft, which many people feel is really rampant.
Qualcomm, Broadcom, Intel, and Trump. It's next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please stick around.